indeed, round two on the show that doesn't go to Northies and sink a thousand beers and picks up anything because we've all been banned. Hello, welcome. It's Get Them On Side. Sean Ormerod.
Hello, how are we?
Welcome.
Yeah,
I'm delaying the intro to Joel because I know this. As soon as I mention Joel Kane, he's going to get... He's been vindicated this week, okay? And Joel can't help it when he's vindicated, okay? He can't... He just can't be dignified and say thing and say... I know I was right, but, you know, I'm tipping, have made this all about you this week. Dally M, the farcical situation of James Tedesco only getting a point, just brought into light Joel's suggestion that there needs to be a new voting system, and sadly, I think Joel is right. Hello to you.
You're right, Dan. I am going to bang on about this. And you know what? I've been banging on this for a long, long time. It's not that bloody hard. I'm going to get to that later, but we keep doing it.
Not that hard. I'm looking. Look at this sheet of paper here. It's like something from A Beautiful Mind. Look at it. Simple.
No. I'm going to get to it very later, but this is something that could be fixed. Otherwise, you know what? This prestigious award, ultimately, 2 points is a lot in the current format of Dally M, right?
Yes.
This could cost James Tedesco a Dally M. And I've got a solution that we can fix now. PVL has shown that he's happy to move if it's in the best part of the game. And I'm going to save my Bambi, Dan.
Okay. We're going to get to Bambi soon, I feel, because we get to some. We'll get to the big issues in a moment. Did you enjoy the opening weekend? I think we always judge round one kindly because we'll take anything.
Yeah.
Once again, the Herald putting negative stories about blowouts and just. It's interesting when a media company is trying to sign a rights deal and you look at the. Tone of the stories they write. I'm not saying the Herald's the only one to have ever done that, but just look out for that when you're looking at your websites, just ratings are up or ratings are down. Just keep an eye on it. I'm not judging because it's all a business, but just keep an eye on that. But they did point out...
To balance that ledger, I will say this, that one particular outlet who no longer has the rugby aren't writing about them. So it happens.
You're right.
They all do it.
I'm actually not bagging.
No.
I'm just saying that it is a very naked strategy.
Vested interest.
To bring the rights down. We're all about ourselves first, and we're all about what's good for us. So I'm just pointing it out. But they did point out that it was the highest, not so much amount of blowouts, but the biggest average margin of victory for round one. Any concern... going forward?
Not for me. I tell you what I did love, to put a positive spin on it, the new bunker rule. That's fantastic, isn't it? When you just
Not everyone does, but I liked it.
Yeah, I love it.
What I don't like about it is the lack of, when you're at home watching the game, you're not seeing the investigation of the try-scoring effort as much as what you used to.
Yeah.
So if you've had a bet, which...
Oh, yes.
More often than not, that I have had. I need to know. I need to see what's going on. Is it a try? Is it no try? Because the refs, as you said, he's already blown it.
Yep.
I've already gone up. Then you're sort of sitting there waiting for it to be confirmed or not. That's the one thing I don't like about it.
It really is, isn't it? Your horse crosses the post, and then 10 minutes later, while you're waiting to collect the siren, wee, 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 wee.
Yeah, the dreaded protest.
It just comes out of nowhere, and it is a bit like that. And I think we can assume, now I didn't see every minute of every game, but
maybe we need the siren.
Well, we've got, I tell you what, that six again sound effect is a punish.
Yeah.
Now we need it. Yeah. We need something because it's a good, but is that Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber? What's the most annoying sound in the world?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
There goes all the listeners.
Sorry, everyone. We will hopefully, Ollie back in the studio, will just tone that down a little so it won't absolutely send people to death. I think you're right. It's a good idea, Sean, just to have it in the corner.
Something.
Just to see if there's any. I mean, at worst, you're going to get replays of the put down. So I didn't mind the blowouts, to be honest. I did Roosters Manly. I love that game. Now, it's concerning if that's going to be the tone of the season and we're going to have 10 teams just cannon fodder all year. It did feel, I'll tell you what was eerie, it was very similar to last year. The same teams were good, the same teams were bad, not much has changed.
No, and we had a suspicion that the Titans were overhyped, didn't we? And that well and truly showed. I've got a theory about them too, by the way. Do you want that now or later?
Yes, come on. You can't keep you're teasing a Bambi. You're teasing you.
So you saw the blowout, which was the Roosters, right? You look at their back line. It's imposing. Morris times two, Manu, Tedesco. They're just these giant back five. So I had a look at the Gold Coast. This is part of the reason why I wasn't keen on the Gold Coast, and I'm not particularly keen on them this week.
No, me neither.
They got garden gnomes in the back line, in the back five. They have, Dan.
Garden gnomes.
And I can say that because garden I'm a garden gnome. No, they have.
Oh, okay.
Listen to this. The back five of the Gold Coast who trotted out round one, who's the same trotting out round two, they are 6 centimetres per player shorter than the team who won the comp, the Melbourne Storm, back five last year. 6 centimetres per player. That's a big concession.
Talking about height, obviously.
Yes.
And Philip Sami is Sami, by the way. There you go. It's a new pronunciation, another new pronunciation. By the way, well done to the Canberra Raiders. See, when you send us the correct pronunciations, we try and get them right. That's the thing. It's amazing how many things are lost in communication, lost in miscommunication. Because we as commentators, we don't want to get things wrong. I mean, Josh Papali'i, you know how bloody hard that is to get used to after 200 games? But we did. Chance Nico Klukster. It doesn't roll off the tongue. But we were tested the other day, did you do that game when he ran down?
No, I didn't. No.
But anyway, Philip Sami, not Philip Sammy. And he is the number three. So that's a very small. I suspect he won't be starting in the centres. But Corey Thompson, geez, I don't know what they do there.
Well, this is the thing, right? And this is where, and I notice this week, they've upped the ante for Xavier Coates, who clearly is going to help that out. Anthony Don is the only one. He actually skews their number, Anthony Don. He's about 190 centimetres. You take him out of them, they are absolutely garden gnomes. But Sammy comes in. That's not going to help the equation there. What I would do, right, because it's a presence thing and it's a feel thing, if you're going to play Corey Thompson, who's a fine player, you got to play him fullback or you got to play him nowhere. Fullback or nowhere. In that particular team, so what I would personally do, I'd be playing him at fullback and I'd be putting Brimson at number six.
Yeah, I mean, it was all of our doubts going into round one. From 8 to 13, excluding 9 maybe, they're flying. There's no question. 6 and 7, you can probably make an argument for that as well. And then you take Brimson out. That's where the doubt was about that team. And it sort of it proved itself on the weekend. I'm not sure about that move. I think Brimson's an out-and-out gun. You need to just play him at fullback.
I tell you,
I think you've got to concede Thompson then.
But what's the other option, though?
Well, this is the my option is playing him at six.
I've got to be honest, all the results went, I think. Did all favourites win? I think 8-0. No,
Warriors.
7 from 8.
Which honestly, I wouldn't consider that an upset. Technically, it's an upset. It's not an upset when it's $2.10 or $2.20. I thought the only team, I didn't watch every minute of every game. I was very impressed with Newcastle. Now, I know they beat Canterbury.
Were you?
In that, I think they're better than we think. Now, in that they've got Daniel Saifidi's even better than he was last year, and Jaden Brayley is a square peg for a square hole. He's not a creator, but what he gives them, his passing is perfect. He just gets his forwards on a roll. I think they're going to win a lot more games than we think. I think we all have them on the edge of the final, so don't get me wrong. But that really the only team to stand, and again, against Canterbury, let's not go nuts. But I got a sneaking suspicion they're going to be a little better than we thought. But everything else was basically as per, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year I said this is the team to watch, the Newcastle Knights. And I got it very wrong, or so I thought. But now with Brayley in the team, he's 3 from 3 of the Knights' colours. And now when I look back at it, I think, you know what, they made the top eight. Maybe they were the team to watch. Because this kid, and I know Brett Camorley thinks he'll play for New South Wales, he's a kid who functions. When your player who makes the most tackles never makes a mistake, which is him, the player who handles the ball the most never makes a mistake, which is him, you're just in every game. He's a massive cog for them.
Oh, yeah.
And you bring back Kalen Ponga. Connor Watson worked at lock. Bradman Best another year playing. Barnett's flying. The front rowers. Jacob Safidi's gone up a notch. I wasn't impressed with their game, but I do agree that they could be a team to watch.
Anyway, we'll judge them a little, you know, when we get tougher games like this week against the Warriors. There's another big story, but I think we're gonna have to bring in the Bambi. Let's go. Now, talk back, manna from heaven. came in the form of Toby Rudolph and that interview on with your man Fletcher, Fairdinkum, Brian Fletcher. You can't put him with any. You can't pump with him. You can't do an interview with him. It's just bad news. So Toby says,
we all know what Toby says.
Yeah, it's been repeated.
Okay. You took a million calls on your.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 90%, and I'm probably being low, were overwhelmingly in favour of Rudolph and what's wrong with the NRL, and 10% at best were, yeah, he probably shouldn't have said what he did.
Mm, absolutely. And I said on the program, I love Abdo, I love Peter Volandis, I love everyone at the NRL. However, I don't think we handle this right. I think we go to him privately
That's it. That's exactly it.
You go to him privately and say, listen, and you know what? When I listened to it live, and I was there with one of my daughters who's 13, right? So 50% of my family are female, right? So we're sitting there, and as soon as he said it, I went, oh.
Yeah, little cringe.
Then he immediately sort of backtracked on it, where he caught himself as doing the wrong thing. Okay, righto, that's good that you did that. But you were on a forum where it's a bit of a blokey, jokey type sort of setting, I suppose.
Yeah.
And he corrected himself, tap on the shoulder, Toby, mate, listen, this is not the image we want to be portraying. You did tidy it up a little bit at the end, but can you avoid doing that in future? And maybe you even send out a note to the team, the media manager, saying, hey, guys, this is what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make it come from you internally. So I agree with that. It was just a 95% of people. I don't know of a person who's personally outraged by it.
Your view is similar to mine. It's a private conversation. You pick up the phone if you're Andrew Abdo. Toby, listen. G'day, I think you're great young talent. That was a funny interview you did last night. You just got to be a bit careful, mate. Just got to be a bit careful. I'm not going to tell you any further. Don't worry about it. But just be a bit careful, mate. You know, we have a reputation with women. We're trying to change that. And what you said in isolation, not really much wrong with, but just, you know, given our background, you know. And you know what Toby would have said? Absolutely, mate. I understand. I'm sorry for causing you a... no problem, Toby. Now, if you do it again, we might have to take things a bit further. But you know what? Let's just end it here. Matter is dealt with. If the media ask me about it, I'm getting calls from the media. I'll let them know that we had a private conversation, and that's the end of the matter.
Yep.
But what pisses me off is when any governing body uses a moment to pump their own tyres, and I thought there was a little bit of... look how woke we are about the NRL. I thought Abdo had a bad day. Abdo, who's done excellent things, and I like him. I've only met him a couple of times. Seems like a champion bloke and knows what he's doing. I thought he had a bad day because that was the same day Joseph Suaalii got the all clear with Abdo saying, this is going to be very rare. So yet again, there's going to be the perception that what's good for the Roosters is not necessarily good for everyone else. And that's a perception. Now, it might be not reality, Sean, but while the perception's there, then what do they say? Perception is reality.
That's correct. And to all the idiots that were coming out and saying, well, he didn't say he was talking about chicks. He could have been talking about blokes. Let's get fair dinkum. Yeah.
When's International Men's Day?
Yeah.
Oh,
but in saying that, we did get a lot of people, and I haven't actually seen it myself, but apparently Jackie Lammy was on...
Carl. Yeah.
And
people watch that.
Yeah, but apparently, saying how hot a...
Josh Addo Carr had his ass cheeks hanging out in a photo in the paper.
Yes. Right,
and she got a bit excited about it.
Right. Mm. Okay, well then, was there any drama about her saying that?
Yeah, I can't cop this argument either, though.
No.
Listen, Toby just overstepped.
Yeah,
he just got to the line and stepped over...
Yep.
Private phone call, that's it.
Yep. No,
but thank you for bringing up breakfast television. What about, now, your thing, you've invented a term called, what was it,
bruising?
Bruising, because when Bruce McAvaney announced his retirement, a lot of people posted photos of themselves with Bruce, gave their tribute, but it was all about, hey, look at me.
Perfect,
I found now Bruising Plus, and that is the Sam Armitage version where you had colleagues doing the same thing, but it was very clearly jocking for position and trying to get that hosting gig. Edwina Bartholomew, you were one of them. No, we're all doing it, not just Edwina, it's just the first one that came to mind. So you've got Bruising, and I'm saying Bruising Plus. Sam Armitage, you're an inspiration.
Yeah. Well, just on the Bruising, you boys found a good Bruising on the weekend. Sonny Bill Williams, And there was a tribute to Sonny Bill Williams by a player.
Jackson Hastings, this is number one.
Oh, this is yours. Yeah, I didn't see this.
Number one. So it was a tribute, such an honour to play along Sonny Bill Williams at his prime. It was Hastings passing the ball. Sonny Bill was blurred out in the background.
With binoculars. Sonny Bill was in the background.
Amazing. That's great.
Oh, it was the best. Great bruising from you, Jackson Hastings.
Any other Bambies to add to the mix?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
You've already raised this, Dan.
I'm going to sit back here.
Yeah, the pronunciation of players, okay? It is 2021. We should never in our lifetime see this happen again, where a player debuts and changes their name any time after that. We're at a stage in 20... we shouldn't, Dan.
No, we shouldn't. I don't know if it's Bambi.
But it, like 12 years ago, I'd be calling players and there'd be a debutant. And what I would have to do is record the player. I'd go down, because I know it's important to families, I'd record the player pronouncing his own name. Mm-hmm. And I'd share that with rival networks, etc., and say, hey guys, so we're all on the same page, this is how you pronounce this player.
Head of surname. Oh, mate.
But it's important to families, right?
No, it is.
So 2021, why have we not got something where the moment you make yourself into a 30, you don't even have to debut, you are filmed, right, saying, mate, listen, go and chat to your family about this. You've got the whole off season to think about this, because this will be your name as a first grader forever and till eternity, right? Go and chat to your family, settle on what your surname is, and we'll ensure that every media outlet there pronounces your name correctly, Dan.
Very good. I would only add to it. Well, firstly, I feel for the kids. They're 19. They've just made their first grade day, but they don't care how they just care that they're in. And sometimes families have different ways of pronouncing it. What about the Matautias? Mm. You had a Matautia, Matautia. So they got to. I agree with you. And
so I'm rolling the sleeve.
Also, we need. Remember from the 12th man tape when Richie Benno would do pronunciation class? Yeah. That's what we need. We need someone. I don't know how you'd get.
I've got another Bambi.
Hang on, let me finish. I'm just saying, in February, all the networks and the radio stations, we all come together, right? And someone leads it and says, we're all in together on this, whether we're right or wrong. This is the list we have. This is because it bothers me that you go to ABC and Andrew Moore says, Nick Chotrick, because Chotrick said this. That's how we, 18 months ago.
Chotrick.
Yeah, and which apparently is the correct pronunciation. But then I go down to, this is a Newcastle-Canterbury game. I walk down, I said, geez, this, okay, well, I'm not ready for that. So I went down, I saw the Canterbury media manager, and he goes, no, Chotrick.
Yeah.
So I just gone, well, I'm buggered here. I think Andrew might be right, but I've got to go with what the club says. And they say, Chotrick, mate, we've never heard of Chotrick. So,
but that's,
so what I'm saying
that's,
is...
That's also Chinese whispers. Go to the player being filmed, and then it's non-disputable.
But you need it to be a universal across Nine, Fox, all the radio stations. That is how that player... His name is to be
Dan.
Pronounced.
It's a little micro site, right? A website where people, fans, broadcasters, click on it and go... look, Andrew was calling for a period of the time. I said, can you please stop calling this bloke Tucky Hiffo? And I said, why do you call him Tucky Hiffo, Tauke Aho? He said, Matty Elliott said it's Tucky Hiffo. I said, mate, it's Tauke Aho. Like, but we should not be pronouncing different ways.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Who's going to lead that?
Yeah.
You need a leader.
It's a micro site. The NRL have to lead it and say, because it's important to families, and boys, you're not changing it once you submit it. Okay, here's another one, right?
Yeah, Jesus.
And it's on the same subject.
I like these shows.
Media outlets
anything.
Have a bad habit of doing this, on radio in particular, and I've retired from doing it, right? And you do this, Dan, and I want you to stop it immediately. So the teams are about to come out. And this is the habit we have on radio, right? Is, righto, here come the teams, the Penrith Panthers, co-commentator, take us through the team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Co-commentators, next time you hear on the radio, they have a 100% strike rate of botching the names when they read out the team. I've heard ones where they've got half the team wrong. The coach, caller, you've got to take the reins and just do it.
No. You worry about SEN.
Yeah.
I'll worry about Triple M. Well, okay.
Dan, stop. It's a 100% strike rate of botching the names.
No, and I did them last week because we had Chance, Nicole Klukstar, and who was the other player that.
Papali'i. Yeah.
Thank God, Hada Wida, no, he didn't play, but his name is different too, so I haven't, but I just said, boys, leave that with me.
Yeah.
Have you got a Bambi, Sean? Or
no, he's rolled his sleeves up, so I think he's going to go again.
Are you
going
another again? One.
First time I've had a triple banger. Okay, Dally M.
Oh, no, not.
Oh, jeez. Hang on. Should we take a break first? Cam, producer Cam, have we got to take a break? We're going to take it because it's going to take 10 minutes. We're going to get to the game.
I'm
going to
get it done in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes is all I need.
Over 2 minutes.
40 seconds. I think you can do it quickly. Right. I want you to do it quickly.
Want a flying start to this season? Well, for NRL this week, if your team scores a try in the first 5 minutes, you win. We'll pay you out straight away. Footy's back with Sportsbet.
Okay, so explain that. Thursday night football, Parramatta plays Melbourne. I need a try. I've backed Melbourne head-to-head.
Yep.
Pappenhausen scores in the 5th minute.
Yep.
You will pay out my head-to-head.
Yes. Pay it out.
Doesn't count on multi. It's a head-to-head bet.
Singles only.
Singles head-to-head,
only. Okay. Up to $250 stake.
That's a good... That would have gone off... Did that go off last
Four
week?
4 from 8.
Okay. I was going to say that. Felt like there was some very early...
And the Bulldogs with a double banger, just like Shug's triple banger.
So that's what you want.
It's specifically good when you're back in the outside. If Dallin Watene Zalesniak scores in the 4th minute,
yes.
Ka-ching. And I'll tell you this, the last few years, this surprised me actually, 1 in 3 games over the last few years, a try scored inside the first 5 minutes.
And I think...
That sounds high, doesn't it?
Well,
I think it's only going to go up from here. Now, sample of 1 round, but we saw 50%, new rules, high scoring.
Well, actually, you say that, right? So, round 1 this year, 4 from 8, a try inside the first 5.
Yeah.
The last 2 rounds last year, 11 from 16.
Wow.
So it's skewing above 50%.
You know how we remember the first ball of the summer was always so important. It set the tone, and Steve Harmison bowled that wide, and England was stuffed in that Ashes. The first set of the season, didn't that set a wonderful tone when Melbourne was shifting from 10 metres out from their own line and offloading?
Yeah. 2 or 3 offloads.
You're going, how good, if this is the season.
Yeah.
Now, not every team's as good as Melbourne, but if this is the season, sign me up. What a great start. And it proves you've got to put your powerhouse teams opening the batting. Mm-hmm. Stuff the ratings in Brisbane if the Broncos are no good.
Absolutely.
Once they are good again, open the season with them, but you put your guns up nice and early. The ratings were huge, and everyone got excited about the rest of the weekend because we were served up that terrific game on Thursday night.
Absolutely.
All right, Joel Cain again. Sean,
I'll be back in five minutes.
Let's go.
Right, this will be rapid fire. I have a solution to the Dally M's, which we need to fix pronto. At PVL and Abdo and the NRL have shown they can be very agile and swift. And when you get very cranky at your children, you do it out of love because you want them to be better. And I'm getting cranky here because I've called this for years and no one does anything about it. The Dally M system at the moment, which is still far better than the Brownlows. What does an umpire know about rugby league? Have you ever seen, let's stay on the Brownlows for a second. Have you ever seen an umpire be recruited by a club to go into talent identification after their umpiring career? No, the answer is no.
Because that's just pretty good.
Because that's not, no, it's not. That's not their forte. And the other thing is, they're distracted doing it. So, Brownlow, get in the bin. Rightio, let's talk about now the Dally M's, right? We need to get better. And this needs to, we need to actually go back to round one and fix this because otherwise.
We're 90 seconds in, we haven't got no solution.
We might, well, this could cost James Tedesco the Dally M. This could cost James Tedesco the Dally M. Here's my solution. You can't bag things without your own solution.
Yes.
Your Channel 9, right? Gus, Sterlo, Joey, Freddie, all the smart minds there come together with a consensus and hand in their 3-2-1. We're at Fox here, right? And there's Braith, there's whoever's on the game, all the experts there, they get together and they submit their 3-2-1 as a consensus.
Right.
You're a Triple M, whoever the nominated radio broadcaster is, right? You nominate as
I'm
a consensus 3-2-1.
The next part you're going to lose me, but I'm with you to this point.
Okay, so here's what we did as a mock. I asked you boys for your 3-2-1 out of the Roosters Manly game. So the points add up, right? So it's 3-2-1, you combine them so you can get a total points of 9. This is where we landed, right? James Tedesco, 9 points.
Mm.
Morris, 5 points.
Mm.
Keary, 4 points.
Yes.
Right. Do you think most people would accept that?
Yes.
Okay. What the votes were, Morris, 3 points.
Yes.
Lindsay Collins, 2 points.
Mm.
James Tedesco, 1 point.
Yeah, that was a bit off.
Okay. So James Tedesco leaves round 1 with the same points, with a bloke who played well, as Jaden Brayley.
I don't like that analysis.
Why not?
Because what's Jaden Brayley's... I would have given Brayley 2, by the way, in the Newcastle game. He could have got double Tedesco's points under that system. But you don't overthink it, but you're right. Here's where we separate. You would then add those... You would give Tedesco 9 points.
And you know why? You got to tell you why.
Yes.
Because it also opens the door to a 4th and 5th, maybe a 6th player to pole because there's quite often a blanket finish. So it's okay if, like, for the example for Newcastle, I did it for that as well. We all polled Daniel Safidi 3 points. Mm-hmm. He leaves the game with 9. Mm. But then it was a clustered finish. Okay. Clemmer and Brayley each get 3 points. Frizzell gets 2 points. Barnett gets 1 point.
You done?
I'm just about done, yes. And I would say go back to last week, keep the Daly M points, which are, but then go to two other outlets, being Channel 9 and Fox, and say, give us your 3-2-1 for each of the games. We need to tidy this up. This might cost James Tedesco a Daly M.
Okay. You said you'd be done in what, 2 minutes?
It's bulletproof.
We've now passed 3 minutes.
What's the downside to it?
I'm going to get to it. Yes. Have you got anything to say before I rip in?
I don't actually mind it. Now, Daly M's, I haven't been as angry about it as you for... Mm. The same amount of time, but it has annoyed me. And now we can't bet on it. I don't lose sleep about it. But it should be a prestigious award, and that's what annoys me. What will really annoy me is when they do change it, the head wobble on Joel Kane when he comes in.
Because he can sense he's close.
Yeah, it's going to get changed before the year's out.
I like the consensus vote, but I would still stick with 3-2-1. I don't complicate it. Don't muck around with it. Just have all the...
Why is this fascination for 3-2-1?
Because I think you need to reward the best, the clear standouts. And if you suddenly go to a 6-5-2-1, you're just complicating.
It's not complicated.
But I'm saying the whole concept, the reason we're talking about this is because we're getting, we want to cut out the Russian judge, okay? We want to have the figure skating scores, and you got 6 of them, and you can have a dud. You can have one that's way off this way, one off that's way, and you're going to get something in the middle. That's consensus voting. I'm happy for 3. Everyone hands in their votes, like you've said, but at the end, you come up with a 3-2-1.
And you're big about the howler. Don't publish them straight away, because when we get to the awards night, we go all the way back to round one, and I go, oh, Teddy won. No one remembers.
That's why hasn't got the same conjecture.
Exactly.
That's right.
All right. We've covered it. We're done. We're locked in.
Okay, just on that, though. To finish this off, Dan, you can do what you're saying under my premise, right? You would just have to have, in the event of dead heats, you'd have to have one particular outlet, being Fox A game,
whatever,
to be the deciding vote.
You can work out a countback system. That's fine.
And one thing that doesn't work, people like the old rugby league week system, it's too arduous to have people rate out of 10. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that also is if a gun player goes down for 6 weeks, they're effectively out of the running.
There is a way. I thought about that. I don't like that system either, but there is a way to do it. Again, like say you take a player's best 16 games because you want to reward standard. You just don't want to report someone getting 7 out of 10 every week. You want to get someone with the most 8s and 9s out of 10. Best 12 games, best 16 games. There's ways around that, and therefore every player is voted on every game. But I'm with you. I prefer a 3-2-1 system, and you know, 5 minds are better than 1. I'm with you on that. All right. Ooh, we've covered that. We got complaints last week. Well, one person complained. So 27 minutes to get to football.
And I liked your reply, Dan. Just fill in the people about what your reply was.
Well, you can fast forward. I didn't do the thing of saying, well, don't listen, because we like listeners. Yeah. We like people here. I just said, can fast. It's a podcast. You can fast forward because it's the same format as the last 2 or 3 years. We do the gibber at the top, and then we get to the meat of the footy. Ooh. Maybe Cam, our producer, or Ollie back in Melbourne can put...
Tips only.
Oh, I've got another... No. Well, that's another idea. But on the thing, on the Bill Simmons podcast, it says when they... at the 27-minute mark, we speak to a guest. I have another Bambi. Have I got time, Cam?
Yeah, this is good.
I don't need the full graphic. Now, last week, you know, I defended Sportsbet by smashing Ladbrokes, who I didn't realise was major sponsors of Triple M Footy. So that was awkward. But I'll still stick with it. The Mark Wahlberg ad is a disgrace.
Iceberg.
Mike Iceberg is a disgrace. Mate, the radio ads are even worse. But now I think that allows me the latitude to rip into one aspect of Sportsbet. I'm sorry, I just can't get on board with, and that is the Sportsbet wolf.
No one's safe with Dan.
The Sportsbet wolf. Can you back something that's more than $3 once? Every day I see,
more noises.
$2.50, $2.30. I could recommend that. Yeah. I could recommend that, and I know nothing about racing. Who are you, Wolf? And give us some value.
Who's the
once,
Wolf got today?
Ever.
Let's have a look.
$3.50, and that's the best odds he's had in a long time. Anyway, that's it. That's it.
That's good.
Let's get to some footy, and we will, of course, begin with Thursday night football, another blockbuster to start us off, Parramatta and the Melbourne Storm. Sean, Melbourne, very warm favourites. No surprise there. I don't have the stat with me, but there was for a long time a real bounce-back theory that teams that won their first game tended to lose their second. I think the Storm are exempt from that. But teams that lost their first game, more importantly, usually bounce back in the second. I don't know if that's as relevant as it used to be. That seems like actually quite fat odds for Parramatta at home. Oh, there you go. You've put up another gutless 6.0 line. Can you go one line?
No, you know what? I'll get that changed because it's annoying.
To what?
You want a result.
5-5 or 6-5. I don't care.
I think it's going to go Parramatta's way.
To 5-5.
It'll be 5-5 before it goes 6.5.
I need you to go to 6-5 here.
Now, I'm not sure about the bounce back factor.
No, I think it's dead now.
It's very subjective. It's hard to quantify. But I'd love Parramatta in this game. Storm were, that opening 20 was probably as good as you'll ever see from a team. But then post that, it wasn't as red hot as maybe you look at the scoreline and you think it was from the Storm. Didn't score a try in the second half. And Souths were all over him late until that dubious penalty for a late tackle where they went 8 points up. And that sort of settled them. I think Parramatta are going to learn a lot about how the Storm play from that game. You said, Dan, they're shifting it wide, offloading. That right edge, which is where Souths scored all their tries, that's still a big concern of mine for Melbourne. Parramatta at Bankwest, completely different team. There's rain around. Can't get it anywhere near +6 what it is now. So I'm very keen on Parramatta, both at the line and also head-to-head. $2.75, I think, is a great bet.
Parramatta, Joel, won this game at Bankwest 14-0 last year, but none of the Melbourne guns are available. It was basically an Origin-affected style team. There were a lot of players being rested. Outside of that, Melbourne have completely dominated this head-to-head matchup with the Eels. In fact, it's been a year since Parramatta have won in a real, genuine, non-injury-affected game. But I'm with Shauno in that I thought Melbourne were a little exposed in the last 60 minutes. And perhaps because it was such an entertaining contest, we're perhaps overrating where they are.
100%. And there's a reason for that. I've got a theory which I'll talk to you about. The Melbourne Storm, and I said this last week, we overreact to what happens in round one.
Right.
Teams aren't as good as you think. Teams aren't as bad as you think. There's an overreaction here to how Parramatta started. Just talk about Parramatta. Their three tries conceded against the Broncos, they were all out in the wing. So when I'm analysing teams, I go, well, where were they getting scored on? It was on the wing. Not so bad. And you're entitled to be a little bit clunky with the ball. Melbourne Storm, now, coaches are far smarter than me. So if I'm picking this up, I've got no doubt South Sydney picked it up on the run, and that's why we saw the last hour change. And I've got no doubt about it. Parramatta will be all over the NRL about this. In the first 20 minutes, go back and watch the game. If you could get an aerial shot of that game, every single time South Sydney caught the ball, there was a purple jumper in their face. Mm. That's not physically possible, right? You can't get there in that time. So therefore, Melbourne went out there happy to push the friendship, right? Mm. And there was no six to go. And maybe because it's the first game of the year, referees want to see the game move on, etc. But there was no six to go, no penalties. They won't get away with that this week. I get the suspicion that South Sydney brought it up at halftime or on the run.
Yep.
That's why the tide changed. I also get the suspicion that Parramatta would be all over that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Parramatta win this game. I'll be tipping them big time as far as the start's concerned.
Okay, so consensus. You on the Eels too, Sean?
I am.
Okay. It's a big call to say they're going to beat Melbourne in terms of off the stick, but I don't think we'd be all that shocked. There was that moment, 20 minutes to go. Melbourne were panicky a bit. South has gotten their own way, I felt like. And I sensed, well, they're calling it, so maybe you get a better sense at the game, I don't know, that they were missing Cam. They just missed that cool head just to settle things down, because Melbourne should never have been in a contest. Once they blew out to 22-0, it should never have been a contest. So, all right, that's Thursday night football. We go to the first Friday night game. It's a good one. This is the tightest betting game of the weekend, quite significantly. Warriors and Knights. There's not a game even anywhere near as close in the betting. $1.95 Warriors, a terrific win against the Titans, and the Knights $1.85. Now, this is in Gosford, so it's barely an away game for Newcastle. They've got a lovely draw. The next two are at home, so they don't leave basically the Hunter except for a one-hour drive for a month. And there's the lot. So, interesting, Sean. Knights given 1.5, giving away, And the punters clearly like the Warriors here. They have tumbled into that 1.5 plus.
Yeah, this was 220 or 215 at the start of the week, I think. And I still think this is wrong. Warriors should be favourites in this game.
Green.
When you take Ponga, Fitzgibbon, Edric Lee to an extent out of this team, and then you've got Bradman Best who went off early, Kurt Mann who went off early, they've got to be in some sort of doubt.
Yep.
They're far from full strength here. And I really love the Warriors. And I still think I'm probably underrating them a little bit. I'm rating them more than what the market probably is, given the betting in this game. But I can't see how they're not favourites in this game on the Central Coast.
Joel, before I get to you, do you think, Sean, the market is based on the expectation that Best and Mann will play? I was stunned when I saw them in the injury in the lineup. Now, Mann injury not as bad as first feared. It was supposed to be 5 weeks. I'd be stunned if he played.
Yeah,
it would change my. If they don't play, it would certainly change my thinking.
I still think it's only going to go the Warriors' way.
Okay,
even if both of them front up. Yeah, I still think the Warriors are a bet.
Yeah, I think Warriors finals bound this year. I also still think the rule applies, though. You should never back the Warriors when they're favourites. So if you're going to back them while they're the outsiders. I agree with everything Sean has said and Dan has said. The other factor to consider in this game, I can easily see people talking about this. Daniel Saifidi played about 70 minutes. Clemmer could have played the 80. I've got a feeling they might run a bit empty this week. They played huge minutes. And the other thing that I thought out of the Bulldogs game, whilst I think Newcastle are in for a big season, a little bit of fool's gold. They weren't great against Canterbury. There was a few big turning points in that game. Canterbury didn't get one penalty.
No, but they got some set restarts.
But they didn't get one penalty. Like that's not going to happen again this week. I'm very keen Warriors. And here's another thing for you, boys. Of the 16 current coaches, 11 in their time have met an ex. So 5 of them have not met an ex, right? Hell hath no fury like a scorned ex. If you leave someone, Dan, it never ends good when you meet them for the first time. Of those 11 coaches who have an ex, 10 of them have been beaten in their lifetime on the first occasion against an ex. Nathan Brown versus the...
How have you found that?
Brown is on the side of the 10 and 1.
He's left a club. Hell hath no fury like a scorned ex.
It's a valid stat. I'm going with Newcastle, but only based on Best and Mann.
Now, the reason I say that, though, Dan, is that you would have thought that it would be the coach who left would have the advantage because they'd know all about those players.
Yes.
But it's gone the other way.
Oh, you're saying Newcastle are in the pole position?
Yes.
Okay.
So all of the coaches that have left, they've all experienced a loss first up against the club they played.
Okay, I wouldn't have thought that. If Mann plays, I would take the Knights. I was so impressed with them. I know against weak opposition. Warriors, the stat was there, 39 from 43. They're not going to have that again. And I thought the Gold Coast had their chances from what I saw on Saturday. And they're just a bit impotent when it comes to attack. And they only had 70%. But they had 5 dropouts. They just couldn't do anything with it. Mm. And that's credit to the Warriors' defence. But no, I'll take Newcastle, but without any great conviction. I've got a feeling we're going to be on the same page here. The Friday night match of the night is at Seabus Super Stadium. Titans-Broncos. Not the build-up we were probably hoping because the Titans coming off a loss. Broncos coming off a loss. Titans very short. Very short. $1.45, $2.75. Here's a sneaky little stat that not enough is made of. Brisbane have lost 12 in a row.
Wow. Yeah.
12 in a row. They lost, obviously, 11 last year, coming into last week's game against the Eels. And that tricky line, 7.5, makes you think that one, minus 7.5. Not making me think. I think Brisbane showed enough last week to show they can put enough points on the board to at least keep it to within that margin against a Titans side, which does have attacking problems.
Joel Kane.
Yeah, look, Titans aren't that good. Broncos aren't that bad. I said at the start of the year, the Broncos will not get the wooden spoon, and they won't. They're not a bad side. Kevy's doing good things. And I'm not to say that the Titans won't win. The loser of this is under the pump. They'll be 0-2. But I'm happy to side the Broncos, Shawnee.
Yeah, I found this one really tricky. The only thing that's making me lean towards Gold Coast is just the outs on the Broncos side of the ledger. Like, still no Haas. Lodge is injured.
Well, Coach
Stags is still out. Well, it didn't look good, did it?
They needed to play.
Yeah, like, there's just a few things going against them. I can't work out if there's any real home green advantage for the Titans in this one. Obviously, Broncos don't have to travel very far.
You ever been to that joint when it's full? It's a great stadium when it's full.
Beautiful stadium.
The way they built it, the atmosphere bounces. It is one of the loudest places in rugby league when it's full. It's just unfortunately not full that often. 100% crowds allowed in Queensland. I'd be stunned if they didn't get 25,000
jockers for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So which way are you going, Shauno?
Well, my one watch is weather. If it stays dry, I want to be on Gold Coast. I think just to run away with it late.
Okay. It's the affliction of this show. We have to tip on a Wednesday, but I think you went 5-3. Nice job by you, and we went 4-4. I would absolutely sign away for that week one. Mm. So many landmines week one. Do we take a break or do we keep going, producer Cam? We're going to keep going. We go to Saturday afternoon football, Canterbury and Penrith at Bank West. Penrith have not conceded a regular season point for their last two outings. There's a stat. $6.50, the Dogs. Penrith $1.12. And the line on a Wednesday morning, 16.5. They met just before the finals last year. Penrith won 42-0. Dogs, Sean, at least showed they've got a little bit more attack with Kyle Flanagan running the show.
Yeah, a little bit, but what was really disappointing was their effort in defence. Leaked some really, really soft tries against Newcastle and just couldn't hold onto the ball in the first half when it was wet, which is obviously the number one thing you have to do. I am purely leaning towards the Bulldogs just because of how big this number is. I can't get it that big when sitting down and pricing it. It's at Bank West, so probably nothing there for them, but we know there's plenty of rain around Sydney this week. Plus 16.5 looks huge to me.
I'm going to side with you. I'm throwing a dart at this game. The position, which is so key these days, with the two of fullback and number nine, they were just pedestrian last week. Jeremy Marshall-King comes back. Yeah. I think that's a major in.
He's got to start.
Well, he has to. You just need that out of dummy half to counter Coruscant. The reason I'm a bit sceptical, and this could easily be proven wrong, their defence, they were under 12 last year, Panthers, yeah, which is the best since 91 when Gus had them. They keep a team scoreless in round one. Superb stuff to Penrith. However, if I've got any concerns, my concerns would be Barrett. I know I just gave you the stat about the X's, but Barrett knows a little bit about them. A lot of Penrith juniors coming up here, Waddell and Hetherington, and also another player there, which has eluded me. And the other thing is...
Well, Katoa was part of
Katoa, the team. Katoa, yeah. Yes, Katoa. And the other thing is, they play the Melbourne Storm next week. Have they got one eye on next week, the Penny Panthers? So I'll go with Shawnee plus 16.
By all reports, they weren't that crisp against North Queensland.
Yeah.
They were good enough, and they were never going to lose.
Third gear, I think, all game.
Yeah.
I'm the same. 16.5. If Marshall King starts, I'm at least confident they'll maybe crack double digits, Canterbury. And their forwards, I thought, were humbled so badly by Newcastle. I think they're much better than that. Jack Hetherington, it was like he was on Xanax. Like, you need him angry a little. Mm. He just can't be taking blokes' heads off. But I thought he was a little quiet. Faitala Mariner starts. That was a crazy decision there by Barrett. Waddell goes back to the bench. Dylan Napa off the bench. Look, they're not as bad as last year. Canterbury, and I'm with you, boys. 16.5.
I'm going to give my best bet early, boys. We'll do this again at the end of the show, but the Newcastle Knights, they had Safidi go through the middle of the Bulldogs twice. Barnett went through the middle of the Bulldogs once. How the hell are you going to keep Kikau out for 80 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
My best bet of the round is going to be him to score at $2.70, any time trial scorer.
Okay, we go to Manly and South Sydney. This is the middle game on Saturday at Brookvale. Not that that's the advantage it used to be. $4 Manly. South $1.25. Manly won one game at Lotto Land all last year, and there's been two changes to the Manly side that were thumped by the Roosters. Cade Cust comes in at 14, and Sean Kepi in for who is he in for? Well, Tavita Funa is out.
Morgan Boyle.
That's right. He was dropped out of the 21. South. Geez, Wayne Bennett didn't muck around. Josh Mansell gone. Jackson Paulo in, and Jacob Host. Not only is he out of the starting side? He's out of the... Yeah. Well, he's 21. He's number 21. So, bit of a ruthless streak from Wayne Bennett. I get the sense he's actually a bit pissed off by what they dished up last week, and I think Manly are going to wear the brunt of that. And last time they met, South won 56-16. I'm not sure much has changed.
The back five for Manly, seriously, they can't have Dylan Walker at fullback. Dylan Walker, I joked on social media, has Harry been at the Corso practicing catching bombs? Walker dropped a bomb. Saab dropped a bomb. Garrick dropped some balls. Funa come on, he dropped a ball. They were horrendous at the back five.
Yep.
Where'd they score all their tries, the Roosters? They scored 9 tries.
Yeah, on their
7 on the right.
Yeah, and you know what? And that trial game against Tigers, Tigers scored them all on the left.
Yeah.
They're Swiss cheese.
They're Swiss cheese. So you've got do you know why they scored on the right? So I'd be laying Daniel Tupou this year. Last year Keary.
Follow a creme brulee.
Yeah, it's Keary on that so well.
Yeah, they've moved him to the right.
I learnt my lesson.
Yeah.
Keary, I had him Tupou for a double. He's the only bloody rooster not to touch it in the back line.
Don't touch him all year because they've moved Keary to the right.
Yes.
It's all going to go there. You have to pick South Sydney here, don't you? For that reason, I think they're fired up. The air over Brookie Oval's not what it used to be.
No. This is a shameful line you've put up, Sean. 10.5
is it all?
Oh, this is a game. This is a pick your own line game.
Cody could have that covered in 5 minutes.
I've got Cody for any time try scorer. Yep. He can carve them up.
Latrell will score too.
You got him on the board, didn't you, last week? All right, Sean, are you in agreement here?
No, I'm not. I'm a little bit wary just of last week. They can't possibly be as bad last week, and the Roosters were as red hot as you'll see. They go back to Brookie. I don't like that their stat from last year, Dan. One from however many is not great, and they're still without Turbo. But I'm just going to lean towards Manly. I think, as you said, it probably is a pick your own line. I'd probably rather be on minus 24 and a half.
Is this your system coming up with this bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably want to be on South by minus 24 and a half or Manly off the stick. It's one of those games.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
I'll lean towards Manly for the sake of tipping.
Can I throw you a new golden rule I've come up with?
Yes.
If you see a flashy number 9, i.e. Damien Cook, take on a part-timer, you just got to go all in 13 plus. Number 9 so important under the current rules.
Did you notice Cook had chances to run against Melbourne and didn't? Mm. I thought he was very ordinary. Well, ordinary is a strong word, but I thought he could have done a little more.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So that's how...
You like the rule or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I don't immediately...
answer me, please.
Oh, yes, Mum. Just assume if I don't argue with you, yes, I'm in agreement.
Okay, that's a good assumption. Okay. I like that assumption.
Yeah, okay, do you need to be patted on the back with every
if
suggestion
if he doesn't argue,
mate,
he agrees.
North Queensland Dragons, 7:30 Saturday.
There was no pat on the back after this game, was
it? It's a bit of a weak Saturday night. The Saturday night matches of the night have been fantastic. This is a shit one. Excuse my language. I shouldn't say that. My station's doing this game. Yeah. And they'll get a big audience because it's Saturday night footy. At least they can get a crowd. They haven't had a full crowd at Townsville Stadium since when, round one last year. So hopefully they get a big number. Dragons welcome back Corey Norman. I'm going to say something you're not going to like. Well, when I say you're not going to like, you're going to disagree with. I didn't think the Dragons were that bad on Sunday night from what I saw. I didn't see but they came back.
Mm.
They seemed a lot better to me than what the Cowboys were against Penrith. And the Dragons are, I think, extremely good value at $2.60. In saying that, if they were beaten 30-0, I wouldn't be shocked. But I just don't live in a world where North Queensland should be $1.50 against anyone right now.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, Dan.
5.5 the start.
I just think we're probably going to see a response from Todd Payton's boys after the little serve he gave. Well, it was directed at Big Tam Lilo, but I think it was directed at all of them, really. Just not good enough. I'm only leaning towards them because of where it's played. I won't be diving into the $1.50 or the minus, really. I think I'll probably back Cowboys probably 13 plus or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's more upside in that angle.
I'll be 13 plus as well, Dan. And
really?
Yeah.
What about their performance? Yes. Oh, but you've loved Todd Payton. That's right. Yeah, he can't do it. He's the Messiah.
There's two reasons.
Todd Payton, the Messiah.
He is a Messiah. There's two reasons, Dan. One of them is the Taumalolo factor. You can't put enough on him, get man of the match. Do you agree with that?
It depends on the minutes he's going to play him.
Yeah.
See, I have no doubt Payton. In fact, I think he confirmed this.
Yeah.
Warned Taumalolo he was going to do what he did in public. So he hasn't outed him. That was the only question I had was, did Taumalolo know that was coming or was he blindsided? He wasn't blindsided.
So that's point number one, right? I think he has a blinder. Point number two is I don't rate the Dragons. Point number three is that you mentioned this. capacity crowds in Queensland. This will be the first time we've seen a sold-out Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Can you imagine being a Cowboys player coming out of there?
I wish I was doing this game. Yeah. That'd be even though it's two dud teams, I wish I was doing this game because that's going to be a hell of an atmosphere.
And if they get beat, the heat gets turned up on Peyton very quickly.
They win this game.
See, I'm not considering crowds at the moment. And that's that.
Does that sway you?
Not enough, but I'll stick with my Dragons 5.5. Dragons have had some good results up there. They lost there last year by one. I get the feeling this will be one of the five good Corey Norman games this year.
Yeah.
You know, Corey Norman, he's Chris Gayle. He'll play 5 out of 24 absolute blinders. Yeah, and then the rest catches. Elegant, graceful, and you go, well, he's back. And then you won't see him for a month.
Yeah.
Okay, West Tigers Roosters, Sunday afternoon footy. Get used to Tigers on a Sunday arvo because I think we've got them for 4 straight weeks. This is week number 2. This is at Campbelltown. Roosters $1.25. God, that seems fat to me. But West Tigers at $4. Here's my issue, Sean, as we look at the line, which is 10.5. I don't think the Tigers were as bad as what they served up last week, but the Roosters never, very rarely, if ever, lose these sorts of games. The games where they're clearly superior and totally expected to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like West in this one at the current prices there. You take out Crichton, Radley, Verrills, Friend, Cordner. All of a sudden, depth is very, very skinny there. And as you said, West were pretty good for a half a footy against a team that I think's going to play top four. So I wouldn't read too much into the final score there. Again, you've got potentially a bit of weather on your side. Roosters were undoubtedly just as red hot as you'll see last week. I don't know if they can be that red hot again. I'll be backing West plus and head to head as well.
They lose a lot of players. They lose the
head to head.
Yeah, wow. I think that's worth a throw too. They lose the SCG, which is a major factor.
Mm.
And Dewey coming in is significant for the West Tigers. Can I just give a shout out too for the fullback Dane Laurie? I mean, seriously, his field position defensively is the best I can recall seeing for a debutant. His field position defensively, catching the ball defensively, seriously, it is the best I've ever seen from a debutant. He was sublime. A little bit of Benny Barber about Dane Laurie.
Okay.
A young Benny Barber.
Okay.
Tigers at the plus for me.
Wow. Okay. I've got the Roosters. Not with as big a confidence as I thought I would. 10.5. I can see Tigers hanging in there because I'm certain they're not as bad. By the way, Joey Leilua, here's how I could be an NRL coach. So I can step in for Trent Robinson. Boys, here's what we're going to do. One of you whack Luciano in the first 5 minutes.
Bait.
And then I'll get Joey off his head. And that's the game. Yep. That's the game.
Surely.
That's the game.
Surely he won't do it again, will he?
Why?
Madge has sorted him out.
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday night football. It's Cronulla versus Canberra. This is at Cogra. Cronulla, good win over the Dragons. Giving up their lead and then putting the foot down. A couple of nice, very nice tries. $3, $1.39. And the line is that juicy 6.5. Now, these two teams played finals last year against each other. Canberra have won the last four, but they're usually pretty tight, these contests. Cronulla, Marweni Hirodi comes in for the suspended Jesse Ramien, and Canberra, as far as we know, as per. Wade Graham plays game 250. This is an interesting one. I've got Cronulla to cover here. I think this is going to be a dirty game, and I wasn't that impressed with Canberra. I've got them to win the comp. I just think they're warming into the season. What do you think, boys? This is a toughie.
I've got no opinion.
Yeah, that makes... Have you got an opinion? Are you strong on the Sharks?
No.
It's one of those, though, when I wrote down the start, I thought, you know what? I can see the Sharks keeping this close enough.
Yeah.
That 6.5 might just be enough.
No view at all. I'm happy for someone much smarter than me to try and work this one out. I'll lean the way of plus 6.5, though. I think I'd probably err on the side of that. It's hard to get it bigger to want to be steaming into minus 6.5 on the road.
Joel, I said this before the season. I'll say it now. I think Cronulla's better than what people give him credit for. And I think John Morris is a better coach than what people give him credit for.
Oh, I totally agree.
So they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to surprise people. I'd be surprised if they win this game, but 6.5 to me is just a little too inviting.
Can you might be able to answer this for me, boys. if the Sharks were playing the Tigers this week?
Sharks.
You'd be on the Sharks.
Oh.
Really?
Oh. 100%.
Really?
100%.
Wow. Are you the same?
Nah.
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 No,
I think you're splitting hairs there, I think.
Yeah, so that's why.
Yeah, what's your point?
Well, my point is,
buddy.
Form line, buddy, is that Canberra ended up going away from the Tigers. And I know it's on the road this time, but based on that, I've got no idea, but I'll go Canberra.
I was very judicious in my punting in week one. I was actually well-behaved. I had a lot of first try scorers. I had a couple of multis, and I'll be the same in week two. I still want to just sit back.
Yeah, smart.
And just watch. Although I will be South Sydney against Manly. I'm not calling that game, I can bet. Pick your own line, might get a run there. All right, we've got try scorer bingo, and we've got our best bets coming up right after this.
Down the driveway. Morning, Edna. So when I want to place a fast and easy same-game multi, I use Sportsbet. More markets, more offers, and bigger odds. I'm Gary Flynn, wheelie bin champion, and I make it look easy with Sportsbet.
All right, we're on, boys. We're on. Bit of professionalism, please. Try score a bingo. So this is one. What are you going to get? 5 out of 8, Joel?
Yes.
Go to the website. Go to the app. But I can see Mike Acevo, David Fifita, Nathan Cleary, Latrell Mitchell, Val Holmes, Joey Manu, Ronaldo Mulatalo. If you can get 5 out of those 8, what price are you playing? Have you put up a price yet?
5 or 5.50.
Okay. The punters had an absolute fill-up on this market.
I didn't see it last week. Yeah. Oh, last year.
Yeah. So, warning, Joel.
Well, this is probably why, because they're all saying, where's try scorer bingo? Yeah. We didn't have it last week. So, popular demand, it's back and ready to go.
All right, let's do this. Sean Ormerod, you can start with, did any of our best bets, yes, in fact, I think both of your best bets got up last week.
I think they might have. Would you have Latrell?
Latrell,
yeah. You had Latrell. You took something very short.
Very
but it
short,
got up.
And I'm scared. After you whacked the wolf, I'm pretty scared to put up Parramatta. +6 as it is now, but if it goes to 5.5, I'll still be on that. And head to head, I'd be shocked if we saw the Storm start this game in the same fashion as last week. Same Bankwest Stadium, they're a far different team.
It's a ballsy move to go against the Storm for a best bet.
It is, but they're still without a lot of talent. No Grant, Finucan, okay. Brinko Lee. Yep, para for me.
Okay, Joel.
Executive scorer Jarve, we need you to tally this based on the odds, okay? Otherwise, we might as well just pick $1.20
pops. He's doing that.
Beautiful. I'm going the same price as last week. I think it was about the same for Latrell. How the hell are they going to stop Kikau, the Bulldogs, for 80 minutes? He scores. Then.
I like that. I might actually put that in with Cody Walker, who's my anytime try scorer against the Seagulls. We've touched on the fact they leak tries everywhere, and Cody, I think, can have a bit of a field day. So there we go. And what if we put those two together? You're looking at what, about $7.58?
Yeah,
so,
with Shawnees, you're getting about 15.
So that, yeah, but I'm not going against Melbourne for a best bet ever for a best bet. Yeah. I'll go against them and offer a best bet. That's just about it, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're done here.
Absolutely.
Have you put your Dally M thing to bed now? That's it? We can now just close the lid on that?
Well, there's nothing surer than a howler this week, and he's going to go back to the well next Wednesday.
But it doesn't even have to be a howler for 3. It could be a 2-point howler or a 1. It's going to decide the award. Let's just get on with it, please.
Did anyone go for the 2-point field goal?
Nope.
Oh, no. I can't wait till the team's down by 8, Sean. With 5 minutes to go, and this bloke goes, I'll kick a field goal from 40.
I hate the rule, but that's the time to do it.
No. Okay. I don't disagree, but... Yeah.
I hate the rule.
Okay. We're done. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching on... thank you for watching on Fox League. I missed it. So apparently went to air and it was fine. Much like my love life, it was over all too quickly, but in 2.5 minutes, apparently, yeah. Much like my love life. So, but we're doing it again after, I think it's after the fan.
Yes.
After the fan. All right. Gamble responsibly. Say it, Joel.
Gamble responsibly.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.